everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, and we are ready to go on a Friday afternoon. Tom Fairbanks, my buddy, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, the air quality out there is not good. In fact, there was an air quality advisory issued just a few minutes ago, right?
Is this the one that you sent me?
Yes, that's the one I sent you. That it's ground level ozone pollution advisory. So folks that are having kind of, you know, the sensitivity to ozone may want to limit their exertion. But anyway, that is in effect from noon until 6 o'clock.
And said anything about particulate matter or nothing about that?
I don't know. Farhad Mogimi is with us, who is the head not only of the Regional Transportation Authority, but the Pima Association of Governments, and air quality is in your portfolio. I'm sure you've noticed the air quality just doesn't look good out there, Farhad.
Yes, sir. And I got the same notice that you did.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, we partner closely with Pima County. Pima County Department of Environmental Quality actually monitors the ozone levels, and the notices that the ozone levels right now are pretty high, and it's mostly due to the temperatures.
Yeah, very, very warm temperatures. It's the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Today is Friday. It's the 6th of May, 2022. Our radio station is KVOI 1030, The Voice, for trusted source for news and talk. We're in our 12th year with the radio show and 34th year on TV and radio in Tucson. Every time I say that, I can't believe it. But it's true. We have our worldwide live listening and podcast of the show at buckmastershow.com. Our live line when we have our telephone calls is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Big shout out on Friday to some of our media partners, including Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, to Jim Ninsel, the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. And Jim Ninsel, you know something about that organization, don't you? Being the executive director of the Weekly, you also have you kind of oversee that whole portfolio, don't you?
I check in now and then, see what's going on.
Yeah,
you know, it's, my minions do all the work.
It's a lot of work, I know, but you do a great job, Jim. It's great to welcome you back to the show in studio.
It's great to be here.
Friday
feels so unusual to be back out and about.
Yeah, everybody's kind of getting back out and about, and hopefully there won't be a fourth wave that some are talking about with COVID, but we'll see. Farhad Mogimi is with us. He is the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. Before his time with PAG and the RTA, Farhad was the assistant town manager for the town of Saharita. 16 years ago, Farhad, hard to believe, isn't it?
It sure is.
The Pima County voters approved a 20-year, which was going to be hoped for at about $2.1 billion for the regional transportation plan. And that includes all sorts of improvements. And what do you figure? First of all, good to see you, Farhad. Thank you for coming in. What do you figure how many of these projects and services have been completed so far?
Sure. Good to see you as well, and thank you for the invite. Good to see you, Jim. It's interesting after 2 years of pandemic, and when you get out and start seeing people in person, and you recall that all the good times we had together, so appreciate the opportunity, and good to see you both.
Nothing like 101.
I tell you,
one-on-one, see the whites of their eyes.
It's so critical, especially in my line of work. I've been able to get out and visit with people more often these days, and it's so important to be able to do that and make sure that we communicate information correctly to everyone. So thank you for the question. Yes, so as far as the RTA, we are into our 16th year. And we had recently gone through an extensive audit with the state and with a team of experts that help us really go back and kind of look back and look at what we've been able to accomplish and what's left to do. And as far as that goes, we've been able to budget for every single project in the RTA plan to the ballot amount. And currently, as you all know, and this is nothing new to our region, it's happening everywhere across the globe, cost of goods and services, labor, everything else is going up. So now we're not only looking at making up for some lost revenue due to the recession back in 2008, we're also looking for how do we make up for cost increases. So as a result of that, and we've updated our numbers, we're looking at a range of anywhere between $80 to $120 million worth of additional funding needs that we would need to complete the projects. And we've been exploring some options for doing that, federal funding, especially with the recent federal bill that passed. That's definitely an option for being able to bring some additional federal dollars to the region. And then we also have some really good news on the revenue collection side. Our gas tax revenues have been higher than previous years. Our sales tax revenues have been higher. So there is some positive news on the revenue side as well.
So if some projects, it looks like they won't be funded, could they be referred over to the next program, which is called RTA Next?
Yes, so the board had been discussing this topic for several months now, and at our January meeting, we had a conversation with the board about exactly that. And potentially, again, let's use the range between $80 million to $120 million worth of funding needs. That's the range of projects that would be needed to move to RTA Next to be able to provide funding outside of the current funding mechanism. Just to put it in perspective, $80 to $120 million, it's probably two or three projects.
The audit, Jim, just real quick follow-up. The audit that was done, though, said that your team was doing what you're supposed to do. Wasn't that the bottom line?
Exactly.
This was a state audit.
State Auditor General, yeah. Independent audit, team of experts. And so basically what they do, they come back, and we really value their recommendations. So there were no findings, but they did come back with some recommendations, and the recommendations were, we know costs are going up. We know that potentially you're going to need some additional non-RTA funding, because obviously if the revenue is not coming in, we have to bring additional revenues to the table. And as part of the recommendations, basically either finish the projects with non-RTA dollars or move it to the next plan.
And here he is, Jim Nintzel from The Weekly.
Hey, I guess you mentioned a handful of projects. Which projects are we talking about?
That decision hasn't been made yet. So that's a decision we need to make as we go through development of the next plan, which we have hopefully 12 to 18 months to be able to put a new plan together. As part of that process, the RTA board will have to make a decision which projects would be suited for moving to the next plan. And as we have this conversation with all of our partners, it's evident that projects that are potentially looking at making any significant changes are suitable for that conversation. If you're making changes, then let's take it through that process, propose those changes, and have the voters have a say in that.
And so which projects are still hanging out, I guess, would be my question.
Well, if you recall, in the 20-year plan, they were broken up in five-year phases. So we're looking at the last phase, the last five-year, and a list of those projects are, in some cases, there are phases of projects that have been completed in phases. So, for example, Silver Bell Road is a good example. We've had multiple phases, and then there's a final phase left just south of Ina Road. So that's one project that's actually being discussed right now for a possible scope change. And that's the example of a project that potentially could go to RTA Next, make sure the scope change is included in the RTA Next, and additional funding that's needed to complete that project. And then on the list, you got other projects similar to Harrison Road Bridge, which is initially it was only supposed to be a two-lane bridge to address the dip crossing on Harrison Road. Since then, we've been having discussions about if we want to expand the scope and actually do a four-lane project with the four-lane bridge. So that's another project that potentially would be part of this conversation for RTA Next as well. So there's only about five or six projects that haven't even started the planning and design, and those are the ones that would be ideally part of this conversation for moving to RTA Next.
And how about Grant Road? And we should mention here that you guys don't actually do the projects.
That
you
is correct.
You fund the projects and you work with the local jurisdictions, so we can't be mad at you about the delays Broadway, for example.
Nevertheless, we appreciate everybody's patience. Obviously, construction zones are always, you know, frustrating to the drivers, but we ask them to be safe and be patient and hopefully look for the end result. Most of these projects are being done in phases, and Grant Road is one of them. Grant Road, as you recall, initially it was the first phase at Oracle and Grant intersection. Then we had the second phase that came close to Campbell. And then the next phase is actually leaping over to Swan and Grant. That phase is the construction hopefully will start in the fall. Design is almost completed. So again, they're being done in phases, and that was the way it was planned and implemented by the lead agency, in this case, City of Tucson.
All right, let's see if we can work a quick call in. Matt would like to speak with Farhad from the RTA. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, first, I just wanted to congratulate Farhad and the RTA board for working with Tucson to basically resolve any immediate concerns they had regarding distribution of funding. Farhad, could you just organizationally explain what were the results of those of the board with regards to Tucson, specifically regarding the advisory boards that constitute the recommendations for the distribution of funds? Could you just sort of briefly expand on what occurred, and ultimately how it's going to affect your funding, both for now and for RTA next? Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. I appreciate the question. So I'll start with the committee structure. So as part of development of the next RTA plan, we had a committee of 35 members that were working on developing the plan. During the pandemic, some of the members, their term expired, and even the committee term sunset. And as a result of that, we had about 13 openings. As a result of trying to determine how we want to replace those individuals, the board went back and decided that it would be nice to have a good geographic distribution and have additional residents from City of Tucson on that existing board, so there's a little bit more of a balanced distribution of residents. So back in January of 2022, the board appointed additional 10 members, and majority of those members were from City of Tucson, so we have additional voice from city residents on that committee. The committee as a whole is roughly 33 members currently. There's a really good distribution, and their task is to develop the next plan for the next RTA. As part of that task, obviously the board will work with them closely, and that's where we go back to making sure that whatever they present back to the voters, for the voters to be able to hopefully be satisfied that the investments that are being recommended are distributed, and they are hopefully being directed towards where the needs are.
All right. Well, following up about the City of Tucson, our friend Tim Steller writes today there's kind of a new dust up between the RTA and the city over the planned improvements of North First Avenue between East River Road and East. Which road is that?
River Road and Grant.
There you go, East Grant. Would you like to comment on that, please?
Sure, I'll be happy to. So it goes back to the discussion we just had and the question that Matt had. So back in January, the board agreed that they would identify a number of projects that would move to the next RTA plan. And as part of that conversation, we have multiple task forces and committees that address these issues and provide recommendations to the board. So recently we had a task force that met, and their recommendations on a First Avenue project, both the section between Grant and River Road, and then the section between between Orange Grove and Ina. Both those sections, they recommended that it would be reasonable to change the scope of those projects, but since it's not consistent with what was in the ballot in 2006, their recommendation was that those two projects are suitable for moving to RTA next. So that is recommendation that we have, and that's going to be moving forward to the board for the board's decision.
And when you say change the scope, what's the city want to do along
so
First
on the,
Avenue?
That First Avenue, the scope that was in the ballot was to widen the road to a 6-lane improvements. So basically you have 3 travel lanes and then sidewalks, landscaping, bike lanes, all the additional improvements that come within the corridor.
And that's a pretty narrow corridor with a lot of businesses on either side.
Exactly. Yeah. So the recommended change was not to do 6 lanes, do 4 lanes instead.
Farhad Mojimi is with us. He is the RTA executive director, and he also wears 2 hats. He's also Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG. He heads up both of those organizations. Farhad, right now we want to pause to talk about bakery goods. Are you up for something sweet right now?
Anytime.
There you go. Jim, I know you have certain things that you like. And you like coffee, and Mona's is very good with the coffee.
Very damn fine coffee at Mona's.
Yeah, we can say that. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now for lunch. Steve and the team open at 6:30. People are waiting, and I don't blame them, when Steve opens the door at 6:30 for breakfast. They're serving breakfast Tuesday through Sunday. They are taking Monday off now, which is a well-deserved day off after usually a very busy weekend. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. More about roads and road construction right after we take a break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview, Farhad Mojimi is with us. Farhad heads up the Regional Transportation Authority and the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG. Jim Ninsel is here. Jim is the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, and he's been with the Weekly a long time. Jim, when did you start? 1990-something, right?
I think it was 1956.
As a delivery boy or something.
Yeah, it's journalists, it's much like dogs. You live 7 years for every 1 year.
Yeah.
So
what does that make me over 55 years in this business?
Yeah, you're closing in on the 500, half a millennium.
Yeah, I think so. Farhad, so how are we doing with what's called RTA Next? You talked a little bit about the advisory board and what you're thinking about chronology here of getting this to the voters.
Yeah, so we're doing really well. As I mentioned, the committee is going to be responsible to put together a draft plan. In the meantime, as we were discussing early on, we're going around and talking to folks, trying to get input and trying to educate people about the process and really identifying what the needs are in our community. We've talked about the previous plan. When we put that plan together back in 2004, 2005, we had over 400 meetings with different groups and organizations. So we're starting that process, and all that information would be feedback to the committee, so then they're able to identify how do you want to invest your dollars. And we hope within the next 12 to 18 months we'll have a draft plan. And then at that time we go back to the public again, get feedback and take the pulse of the community and identify when would be a good time to go back to the voters for a new plan, hopefully prior to June of 26 when the current plan expires.
Here's Jim Ninsel.
Yeah, you're definitely hitting crunch time in terms of developing a new plan and getting it in front of voters before your expiration. And, we've talked a little bit. You definitely hit some roadblocks, some potholes with the city of Tucson.
No pun intended.
No, I think that was 100% intended.
Okay.
But the city of Tucson obviously has expressed some concern about the governing structure. You addressed that a little earlier, that the city feels like it should have weighted voting. I don't know if that's been resolved through this changes you've made with the committee, probably making some progress in that direction. But also, there's concern about doing maintenance. Right now, when the RTA was passed, people were concerned about capacity, widening the roads more than making sure that we were fixing potholes. If I understand things correctly, in order to change the governing structure, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but and whether or not you can shift to doing maintenance, are those questions that need to be addressed at the state legislature under your enabling legislation, or can you do that on your own?
Yes, good question. So the RTA is a taxing district established by the state under state statutes, and the governing structure is spelled out in the statute. So any changes to that governing structure requires legislative change. As far as what can we include in the plan, there's more flexibility in that, mainly because whatever we put in front of the voters and the voters approve most likely would be consistent with the statutes, and we can implement what's hopefully in front of the voters for approval. But let's talk about maintenance just as an example, since you brought maintenance up. We believe, based on our read of the statute currently, that the day-to-day routine maintenance is not eligible. But if we're talking about capital maintenance and, completely rebuilding a road, we believe that would be eligible as far as it's included in the plan and the voters vote on it.
And maintenance would be something that, as Jim pointed out, in 2004 and 5, when we were discussing all of this, congestion was the big issue. Now we don't even have drive times anymore. People work at home. They take a break from working at home, so they're out on the highway at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep, so the driving patterns have changed significantly. And our growth rate is obviously not as hyper growth as it was back in 2006. Now we have a more steady growth rate. And as you mentioned, the travel patterns have changed a little bit. So when you had capacity in a roadway, for example, it wasn't utilized because it was designed for peak hour. Now that's spread out throughout the day. So you're getting a little bit more capacity out of all of those roadway systems. So those are the kind of things that we have to evaluate and look at as we start developing our next plan and to identify where the needs are and then prioritize where we want to invest those dollars next.
As evidenced by the traffic out there right now. This noon show is now, I guess, a pretty prime drive time, Jim, because you were saying as you rode in here, you can't believe the traffic out there at 11:30 in the morning.
That was probably more of an excuse for rolling in right on the edge of timing. No. But I did get caught up in some of that construction work, and I do find it fascinating because it was, on the one hand, people will complain a lot about how the roads need so much work, but then they also complain when you're actually doing the work and driving through the construction zone. So
we're fortunate we have 12 months out of the year for construction. I grew up in Wisconsin, and we only had 3 months of construction season. So can you imagine that?
Yeah, trying to compress it all into that. I wanted to ask you about transit, because I believe the RTA contributes a lot to the SunTran, if I'm not mistaken. About how much?
The capital investments that RTA made at the time were close to about $100 million, and then we had another $100 million roughly from other regional funds and a federal grant. So the project was roughly about $200 million to complete. And then since then...
That was the streetcar?
The streetcar, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then since then, we had about roughly $13 million worth of startup operation costs for the streetcar.
Okay, and do you do the buses at all? Do you help fund all of that?
So we have a really good mix of transit investments, and RTA's role is to provide enhancements to the current transit system. So, for example, we provide extended.
Speaking of 2006?
2006, yes.
Okay.
So expansions to hours of service, operating later at night, operating earlier in the morning, operating on weekends. So those are enhancements that RTA supplements the SunTran system to be able to provide those additional services. And then beyond the SunTran service area, we provide fixed routes as well, which is our Sun Shuttle system. And then we also provide ADA transit system as well to complement our fixed routes. So there's a really good list of menu of options for everybody that wants to use transit to be able to facilitate that transit and keep it as seamless as possible within the region. That's probably one of the reasons that most people don't know who's operating what system, because we all work together really closely.
And is that from the half-cent sales tax dollars, or is that other federal funds that you are providing?
So there's a combination of funds that comes to the region, roughly about I would say 50 million of that are regional funds, a mixture of federal funds, as well as half cent sales tax RTA dollars. And then obviously City of Tucson contributes some local general fund as well. Combined total, we spend over $75 million a year on transit in the region.
So a big chunk of that would go away if the sales tax is not extended.
Yes,
so it could be a blow to the transit system for sure.
Exactly. So that's on our list of things that we want to include in the next plan. In fact, we are required to include transit components in the next plan. So we envision a good portion of the next plan would also offer transit options as well.
What would be your star performers when people ask you what are you really most proud of, Farhad, over the past 16 years? Give us a couple of projects that you think are really game changers in this community.
Well, again, if you look at what the system looked like back in 2005, 2006, it's really easy to start looking at where some of those improvements almost immediately relieved a lot of congestion, safety concerns in some cases. So La Cunada early on in Northwest area, for example. We have Tangerine Road. If you look at it, there was a two-lane road with a lot of dip crossings, very dangerous conditions. We have Helton Road on the east side, and that was a favorite project for a lot of people, that we really felt that by doing it in phases, it's going to pay off immediately. And some of those projects actually had almost immediate economic development opportunities that came with them, the streetcar being one of them. So when we talk about the streetcar, in some cases, people just only look at the transit component of the streetcar. But if you really look at the economic development opportunities that followed the streetcar, then that would be on my list of projects that let's look at it from a more comprehensive perspective of what benefits it brought to the region.
What about bus pullouts? Before RTA came along, you talk about congestion. Boy, was that frustrating to get behind a bus that just, you know, and you've got people backed up. It was dangerous. You had cars stuck in the middle of the intersection. You've done a lot of bus pullouts.
Yeah,
that was really early on, wasn't it?
Early on, because they were small, quick, fast, and so we've completed 200 bus pullouts.
200?
Wow. And for that same reason, because in many conditions you had buses stopping in the middle of the travel lane. It was obviously not safe. And so 200 bus pullouts in major corridors. We've had over 40 intersection improvements. Most of them were safety improvements. And then we've added bike lanes and sidewalks, as well as those pedestrian crossings that some people like them, some people don't, but they're very safe. And I hope more people would utilize those pedestrian crossings as well. We've done 80 of those pedestrian crossings. So overall, a lot of investments in making sure that our system is safer, people are moving around easier, and hopefully reducing the overall congestion. And then with the transit system, hopefully it's more convenient, more frequent, and more people are benefiting from that as well.
Jim, some final thoughts?
You mentioned making things safer for people. You've also made things safer for wildlife.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
With some of these wildlife bridges, and I hear people kvetch about it, they're wasting money on these wildlife bridges. Talk a little bit about why that was an important element.
Of course. No, I'm glad you brought that up, too. So it's safer both for the traveling public as well as making sure that we don't break these linkages for wildlife corridors. So making sure that you make a safe crossing and making sure that you're not actually impacting the corridors for wildlife for their migration back and forth. So that's the main reason. But the benefit of it was, obviously, you're not getting safety concerns and roadkill and everything else as a result of it. So it's a mutual benefit. We truly believe to maintain and have a project or corridors crossing these wildlife corridors, we have to do that. We have to accommodate both wildlife crossings as well as the traffic, hopefully either getting under or over over those corridors. We have a case on Oracle Road that wildlife corridor goes over, and in many other cases, the wildlife corridor goes under the road.
But you are seeing the wildlife seem to understand that this is
interesting enough. We've been partnering and when we have a lot of volunteers out there monitoring, tracking, we have videos and they kind of teach themselves to cross the road and go over the bridge instead of crossing it in the middle of an intersection somewhere.
Well, they're doing better than many Tucsonans in that case.
Yeah. So the feedback from the wildlife is very good, I guess. So
and we have videos. We have videos that are fascinating to watch, and we'll be happy to share those videos with
all
anyone.
All right. So Farhad coming up will be RTA next, and as you pointed out, if someone wanted to comment around the first program in 2004 and 2005, there were a lot of opportunities. I think you said 400 meetings, and I assume you'll have probably a like number of meetings, so people are going to really have their say, and then the committee will craft a program that hopefully will have widespread support. So that's kind of the bottom line, right?
That's the goal, and we'd be happy to sit down and have coffee with anyone, anytime, anywhere, and answer any questions you have. If not, please go to rtamobility.com and share your comments with us.
Farhad Mojimi, thank you very much, Farhad.
Thank you.
All right, Jim Nensel sticks around. The Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. We thank Farhad, and now we move on this Friday afternoon. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and we thank Farhad Mojimi, who is the RTA and Pima Regional Pima Association of Governments Executive Director. He wears two hats, a real important job. And Jim Nitzel has a very important job as the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, and he's also involved with five other publications, including Inside Tucson Business, which all that keeps you very busy, doesn't it, Jim?
It does. It does. It does. It's a treadmill that does not slow down often.
Yeah, you know, this whole legislative session seems to be aimed at taking out anger toward public school teachers, kind of reinventing the wheel when it comes to how we conduct elections. It seems like there's just like a lot of seems to be going kind of, for want of another word, payback.
I think that's a lot of what's going on. I mean, obviously, if you go back in time to the Red for Ed movement,
yes,
where teachers were organizing and they had the public behind them, and you had a situation where Governor Doug Ducey went from saying, you know, oh, maybe we'll do 1 or 2% raises for teachers, to we'll make sure you get 20%, to accede to their demands when he was seeking reelection, and I think was very concerned about what might happen in that election. And you suddenly, when you saw the the teachers protesting up at the Capitol and the number of them and the fact the public was behind them. But you fast forward to coming out of this pandemic, teachers are in a whole different situation. There's a lot of frustration as a result of the schools being closed for as long as they were, because that put a huge amount of stress on parents, especially working parents who couldn't stay home with their kids and mm-hmm. help them learn. Mm-hmm. So you have that going on, but you also have, I think, some anger from Republicans who did not appreciate the fact that teachers were making all this ruckus. Doug Ducey especially is a guy who likes to deliver payback to his enemies. So while he was out there celebrating Teacher Appreciation Week this week, he doesn't seem to appreciate them when it comes to the legislation that hits his desk. He just signed a bill that allows parents to sue teachers if they're upset.
I have to think that that is going to have a chilling effect on teachers that want to teach in the state of Arizona.
And you're setting up all kinds of landmines. There's this whole nonsense about CRT, and it's become such a buzzword. Critical race theory, and the idea that if a teacher teaches about slavery and somehow makes a white kid in the class feel uncomfortable because of the historic legacy of what slavery did in this country, and it is a stain upon the mm-hmm. United States mm-hmm.
It is.
History, and we should acknowledge that there mm-hmm. were some things that were done wrong. We've gotten much better, but there's mm-hmm. still certainly a lot of racial issues in this country, which have become more pronounced, I think, in recent years. But you think about what teachers already have to go through, and people say, oh, your job's so easy, but you're managing very large class sizes in this state. You're not getting paid as much as your colleagues in other states. And now you got to worry, do I have to go out and buy insurance in case I say something in the classroom that somehow offends somebody, and it's easy to offend some people, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. then I'm going to get sued. And to me, that's just absolutely, you know, what do you have to go out and hire a lawyer? You have to defend yourself? What kind of it's insane to me that this is going on.
Then there's this whole thing under the category of, quote, election integrity.
Right. And that's where, you know, you had this absolutely idiotic audit that went on for so long this year, ended up, when they ended up counting the votes, showing that Biden won by a larger margin, because guess what? Hand counting is not as accurate as machine counting. You can do it over and over again. You can test it in any way you want. Machines are going to count more accurately. And I'm not saying you don't need to run random batches to make sure the machines are lining up, but you can't count. There are people up there who think Wendy Rogers wants to have an election, wants to have all 2 million plus votes counted, and she wants it all done in 24 hours. I mean, it's so absurd.
It's
it took
just
them months
that's
to
impossible.
Count just the Maricopa County ballots.
Yeah.
It's like they don't even understand how elections work, and they're in there messing with it. You got Attorney General Brnovich, who is started out by saying the election was legitimate, there was no hanky-panky, and now, because he's running for Senate and because people are chewing his butt over not doing anything about this, and he's trying to get that Trump endorsement, which it's clear he's not going to get now, he's out there making all kinds of aspirations that don't even add up to what anything coming out of the audit. And it's just appalling, honestly.
Then the gubernatorial race, yeah, on the Republican side, you've got Carrie Lake and then Mrs. Robeson, who are both fighting to say they're the real Trump candidate here in Arizona.
Right, and Matt Salmon trying to get in there as well. And, Trump has endorsed Carrie Lake, and
yeah.
She certainly seems to be the front runner in that race. We'll see what happens. But you got to look at a guy like Matt Salmon, who has sort of stirred up this kind of energy over the years, and all of a sudden now it's out of his control, and now he's looking like he's not going to be able to pull ahead of a newcomer, although she's been in the television news biz for a long time, like Carrie Lake, who can
mm-hmm.
and the things they say aren't even true. You know, they went to Carrie Lake, the Republic asked her last week, they said, hey, you keep saying you were you left the news business because you were told to say things that weren't true. Well, yeah. What were those things?
Yeah.
Just tell us what those things were that you were told to
say?
Lie about.
She won't.
She
say.
Won't answer the question.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have an answer. That's not the reason she left the news biz.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And then, of course, we have the congressional districts. And there are really only two now that we'll be focused on here in Southern Arizona. Prior to redistricting, there was a portion that belonged to the district represented now by Tom O'Halloran, which called CD1. But now that's pushed further north. So we really have just the two races that we need to worry about here in Southern Arizona for Congress.
Right. And one of them is the Grijalva district. I think we know that Raul Grijalva is going to win that race.
Pretty safe.
Unless
pretty
something
safe
very serious happens.
Yeah.
But it does not look like a good year for Democrats otherwise. And
no.
To me, this year is going to really test two political theories. And one is that national mood plays a big role, mm-hmm. and people will be voting against Democrats because of the inflation and because of the lingering COVID effects, and there's a whole bunch of things that are not going well in the country right now, and people
including
are mad.
Including Wall Street,
and so they may want to take their anger out on Democrats and elect Republicans. On the other hand, the other theory is if you go too far to one extreme or the other, then the moderate middle moves to your opponent. And mm-hmm. and I think it's safe to say in candidates like Carrie Lake and what you're seeing out of Mark Brnovich and so many others in the Republican side right now who are leaning into this very radical direction that, you know, will that upset people in the – which way are the folks in the middle going to go? Are they going to go yeah. to the far right, or are they going to go to the Democrats despite the things that are going on? And, you know, this Roe versus Wade decision could definitely play a big role in that as well. So, you know, there's a lot to see. A
lot of moving parts.
Exactly.
All right, Jim Nintzel, have a great weekend. Thanks, Jim. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll take a break right here. Back with Weekend Watch.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
All righty then, Weekend Watch presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Beautiful day in Silver City, 79 degrees midday. Be a great weekend to do some hiking over in the Gila National Wilderness, or just kind of kick back in Silver City. And don't forget, for the Memorial Day weekend, the Blues Festival is back live in Silver City. So start your planning now by going to southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all the wonderful things to do and great places to stay as well. We love our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And we love our friend Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, who has been our Weekend Watch host since we launched the radio program in January of 2011. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, and I love you and Anne, too. A big congratulations on an anniversary to the both of you. Such a wonderful love story that still is told every single year.
It is. It is. We are so blessed, and blessed to have friends like you, for sure, Matt Russell. Don't tell me. It's another Weekend Watch, and that means another new restaurant opening.
Yeah, your listeners have come to count on this breaking news from the new restaurant opening desk. This one speaks to me personally, Bill, because of my longtime love of smoked meats. Now, if we could build a bridge between Tucson and Texas, the center would be at the new Texas Burrito Company, with a menu that fuses Mexican culture and the traditions of Texas barbecue. They call it Texican food.
Texican.
And you're going to find burritos and tacos and sandwiches filled with Texas smoked meats, along with Texas-sized salads and sides. They're located on Tucson Marketplace Boulevard, right over there near Kino and Ajo. So be sure to get over there this weekend.
Anything going on related to the Derby?
For sure. The 148th running of the Derby is tomorrow. And for those who can't make it out to Churchill Downs, don't worry. You can still slide into those seersuckers and head over to Rito Downs Racetrack for a kind of a Tucson version of the party. Watch the race on multiple TVs. Enjoy some mint juleps from the bar, some food from Mutt's Premium Hot Dogs. Now, the race, of course, only lasts for 2 minutes, but the party will stretch from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is a must for racing and bourbon and seersucker enthusiasts alike.
And we got Mother's Day coming up.
Yeah, you know what? I'm excited. I'll be looking forward to hanging out with my mom on Sunday, and there's certainly no shortage of dining options. A couple of examples that got my mouth watering include North Italia up at La Encantada. They're going to be featuring a special Mom's Day menu anchored by several dishes with crab. And if you want to enjoy brunch with mom at home this year, check out the brunch bundle at Gallery of Food Bodega over there on Fort Lowell. They have things like mesquite smoked salmon, some quiche, some gazpacho, several other goodies. Wherever you end up celebrating, do it right. She's your mom, after all, and we would not be here without her.
And coming up in Inside Tucson Business, the column.
So, yeah, you know, it's a dish that some people think sort of peaked in popularity decades ago, but it really remains relevant to many of us who love its nostalgic nature. So I ask, what is it about liver and onions that still draws a crowd? I tell that story in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Oh, I got to hear this one. All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt, for everything you do for our community. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. That organization is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by our friend Chris Stefan, thanks to Rose Brandt. Everybody here at KVOI, including my engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson that make the Buckmaster Show team feels so very welcome. We thank you all very much. Be well, everybody.